In today's news headlines, news reports have emerged about the extensive length of the special counsel's report on election 2016 wrongdoing. The New York Times on Thursday morning cited named sources from the Justice Department confirming that Robert Mueller's report is more than 300 pages long, the length akin to that of an average book, which calls into question the succinct four-page summary made public by Attorney General William Barr. Meanwhile, nine House Republicans are calling on California Representative Adam Schiff to resign as chair of the House Intelligence Committee for daring to claim that there is evidence of President Donald Trump colluding with Russia. Representative Mike Conaway of Texas wrote a letter that he read out loud saying, "The findings of the special counsel conclusively refute your past and present exertions." This despite not having seen the entire report. Acting Interior Secretary David Bernhardt is facing questioning from the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee on Thursday ahead of a confirmation vote to make his position permanent. The Democrats on the committee are calling into question Bernhardt's recent past as an oil industry lobbyist. As Interior Secretary, Bernhardt oversees hundreds of millions of acres of public land and coastlines. He would be replacing Ryan Zinke, who resigned in disgrace over ethics scandals. During his committee hearing on Thursday, a woman in the audience sitting behind Bernhardt quietly donned a green monster mask, which activists and environmental organizations are identifying as a swamp monster, perhaps a statement about the influence of industry lobbyists in government. President Trump had promised to drain the swamp as a candidate, but has only filled the swamp with as many business insiders as possible. Here is Democratic Senator Ron Wyden questioning Bernhardt.
I want to go into this conflict issue a bit more with the remainder of my time. Mr. Bernhardt, I'm not claiming that you are big oil's guy. The big oil lobbyists are making that claim. Your former clients in the oil and gas industry have been caught on tape crowing about how you're their guy at Interior.
That's Senator Ron Wyden questioning Acting Interior Secretary David Bernhardt on Thursday morning at a committee hearing. A federal judge in Washington, D.C. has blocked work requirements for Medicaid recipients in Kentucky and Arkansas. Both those states are headed by Republicans who have tried to reshape the Medicaid program as per Trump's vision. In the case of Kentucky, Judge James E. Boasberg slammed the Department of Health and Human Services for the, quote, arbitrary and capricious work requirements, and also criticized the department for assuming that the Medicaid law enacted by Congress allowed the HHS secretary to feel, quote, so unconstrained, nor that the states are so armed to refashion the program Congress designed in any way they choose. In the case of Arkansas, the judge's decision, according to the Washington Post, strips away the federal basis on which that state added work requirements last June that apply to more than 115,000 poor and working-class Arkansans under a part of Medicaid known as Arkansas Works. There are half a dozen states where Medicaid work requirements have been proposed, and the judge's decision could have an impact on those. President Trump, in a brief tweet early Thursday morning, decided seemingly unilaterally that Empire actor Jussie Smollett ought not to have been exonerated by prosecutors in Chicago over an alleged faked hate crime. Trump tweeted FBI and DOJ to review the outrageous Jussie Smollett case in Chicago. Without a hint of irony, he then added, "It is an embarrassment to our nation." Meanwhile, an executive with the social media platform Twitter made an announcement on Wednesday in an onstage interview with the Washington Post about hateful content. Vijaya Gadde, Twitter's head of legal, policy, and trust, was asked why those of President Trump's tweets, violating the company's guidelines against inappropriate content, are allowed to remain online. Here is part of the exchange.
Doesn't that mean that Trump gets total immunity for whatever he says, no matter how hurtful it is, or other public figures?
And that's not the case. There is absolutely a line of a type of content. An example would be a direct violent threat against an individual that we wouldn't leave on the platform because of the danger that it poses to that individual. But there are other types of content that we believe have are newsworthy or in the public interest that people may want to have a conversation around, But today, when we leave that content on the platform, there's no context around that. And it just lives on Twitter, and people can see it, and they just assume that that's the type of content or behavior that's allowed by our rules.
Even though your rules say no bullying.
Exactly. So one of the things we're working really closely on with our product and engineering folks is, how can we label that? This gets back to part of our early conversation. How can we put some context around it so people are aware that that content is actually a violation of our rules and it's serving a particular purpose in remaining on the platform?
So you're literally labeling a tweet saying, this tweet is bullying, but we're going to show it to you anyway.
That's Vijaya Gade, Twitter's head of legal policy and trust, in a Washington Post interview on Wednesday, explaining how Twitter was hoping to label President Trump's bullying tweets without deleting them, as is done with other inappropriate tweets. Facebook on Wednesday announced that it would begin banning content that it deemed white supremacist and white nationalist. The social media platform was responding to criticism that its earliest set of internal rules continued to allow racist content to flourish and proliferate. In a Facebook post, the multi-billion-dollar company explained that, quote, our conversations with members of civil society and academics who are experts in race relations around the world have confirmed that white nationalism and white separatism cannot be meaningfully separated from white supremacy and organized hate groups. The recent massacre of 50 Muslims in Christchurch, New Zealand, highlighted the use of Facebook as a platform for hate when videos of the shooting continued to be shared widely. Civil rights groups praised Facebook's decision but said that more needed to be done. The social media giant also faces other challenges. On Thursday, the Department of Housing and Urban Development charged Facebook with housing discrimination on the basis of its ad targeting system. According to Associated Press, Facebook is allowing advertisers to exclude people based on their neighborhood by drawing a red line around those neighborhoods on a map and giving advertisers the option of showing ads only to men or only to women. Additionally, HUD, which is pursuing civil charges and potential monetary awards that could run into the millions, said that Facebook's ad platform is encouraging, enabling, and causing housing discrimination because it allows advertisers to exclude people who they don't want to see their ads. Ricardo Rossello, the governor of Puerto Rico, is so angry with President Trump and his desire to strip the hurricane-hit island of federal funding that he threatened to punch the president. Rossello, in an interview on CNN, said, if the bully gets close, I'll punch the bully in the mouth. It would be a mistake to confuse courtesy with courage. The governor has been trying hard to meet with Trump in person, but the president has been actively avoiding him. According to CNN, the governor's aides said that during a tense encounter at the White House on Wednesday, they were warned by senior White House officials that representatives for the U.S. territory were pushing too hard to arrange a meeting aimed at discussing the island's dire situation with the president. A federal jury on Wednesday ended a long, drawn-out case over Monsanto's responsibility in causing the cancer of a 70-year-old man named Edwin Hardeman. The six-person jury delivered its verdict saying the pesticide manufacturer should be held liable for not putting a cancer warning on its Roundup Ready weed killer, and has awarded Mr. Hardeman $80 million in damages. The case is a momentous victory against Monsanto, which for years has been able to stave off legal responsibility for its damaging and toxic products. Hardeman suffers from non-Hodgkin's lymphoma after having used Roundup Ready for years. And that does it for our headlines today.